Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fourth chapter that you heard read earlier. It was only 2 weeks ago when we celebrated the baptism of our Lord, and at that baptism, it marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And from the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness where he would be tempted by the devil. At some point following those 40 days, possibly even a year after his temptation, Jesus receives word that John the Baptist has been arrested. To avoid any hostility of his own, Jesus withdraws into Galilee, taking up residence in Capernaum. This shows us that Jesus alone chooses where and when he will confront those who wish to take his life. But it was also to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. According to what we read in Scripture, or by what has been recorded, Jesus never went to visit John in the cold darkness of his prison cell. He knew John's salvation was secure. But he also knew that there were many others sitting in a different kind of darkened prison, who needed to hear the good news of his message. The Gentiles of Galilee were some of those people. They were living in spiritual darkness and unbelief. At one time, Galilee was the land of the two tribes of Israel. But after the Assyrians come in and deported most of the Jews and imported pagan followers to live there, it was a mixed land of unbelief and some belief. Galilee was inhabited by all sorts of beliefs. For those who had been long awaiting the Messiah, they would have expected the Savior to set up shop and work out of the holy city, Jerusalem. But Isaiah had foretold that Jesus' ministry in this region, foretold that he would be in Galilee, signaling God's covenant with Israel would also be extended to the Gentiles. Jesus is the true light, and he gives light to all people. The true light became flesh and dwells among us. The true light came to dwell among Jew and Gentile alike, shining on all dwelling in the darkness and death. So wherever Jesus is, there shines the light of Jesus. Life is there wherever Jesus is. Light and life shine forth wherever the gospel is purely proclaimed and Christ's sacraments are rightly administered. You and I also dwell in the land of darkness and in the region in the shadow of death. You can just look around the country. Abortion, suicide, murder run rampant across our country. It casts a dark pall of death over our country. And as you look around your neighborhoods, you see more darkness and death, those serving and trusting in false gods. And this affects you as well. Broken relationships and your sick and failing bodies send you into the darkness of pain, anxiety, and depression. Our Lord God wants you to trust in him alone, yet you trust in your own reason and strength and in your own passions. You trust in the false gods of drugs and alcohol, video games, athletics, envy, lust, gluttony, and spite. Because as sinners, you and I will use anything to dull the pain and escape the reality of our darkness. Life on this side of heaven is darkness. Therefore, this is all the region of death. For where there is sin, death is sure to follow. In fact, death is guaranteed. The last time I checked, mortality rate among sinners is 100%. And unless Jesus returns really soon, you and I will face death. But before the foundation of the world, our Lord decided that he would not forsake you. By the grace of God, upon you a light has shone. Jesus, the true light, became flesh and dwells among all people, shining into your dwelling as you dwell in this darkness of death. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus gives us three different ways that that light is shining into the darkened world. The true light shines in Jesus' preaching, his teaching, and in his healing. And we'll unpack them in order. By the grace of God, first, Jesus' light shines on you by his teaching. In our text, Matthew records that Jesus went throughout all Galilee teaching. Well, teaching in Galilee would work during his public ministry, but Jesus' days were numbered. He wished to send disciples to all nations to make disciples, baptizing and teaching. So he calls for fishermen to be his teaching, to do his teaching, saying, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus teaches them so that they learn his word, so that they in turn can go out and proclaim his word, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, others would come to true faith, learn from Jesus, and follow him. And those people include you. You have been called to follow Jesus and to learn from him, not just learning a bunch of random facts so you can win a trivia game or appear on the show Jeopardy, but that you might read, mark, learn, and take all of God's word to heart so that the Holy Spirit might reveal to you God's will in your life, reveal to you what God wants you to know from his word. And what is God's good and gracious will for your life? Well, that you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus teaches you not to trust in your own merits or in your own reason or strength, because in his sight, they're rubbish. They're no good at all. He teaches rather that you trust in his merits accomplished on Calvary's cross, the works that he accomplished in his innocent suffering and death. For Christ alone is the righteous one, for whose sake God sees you as righteous. You have salvation for the sake of Christ alone, and for those who are living in darkness, being saved by a cross sounds like foolishness. St. Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Jesus calls you to follow him in faith and to learn from him and be his disciple. Christian discipleship is a lifelong process. Christian formation, catechesis, is ongoing, and it begins in the womb, and it reaches its completion when our Lord takes you from this vale of tears. And this is not your work. It is God's work. God did all the saving of you 2,000 years ago on the cross. He justified you in Jesus' resurrection, and in your baptism, God united you with Christ's death, granting you all the gifts that he won for you on the cross and promising you life in his eternal kingdom. It's all been bought and paid for by Jesus' precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. It's not by your work, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you're able to come to faith. Jesus did all the work. It's all outside of you. But Jesus has given you his promises. In your life as a disciple, he calls you to continually grow. The Lord will continue to teach you as you abide in his word. Secondly, the true light shines upon you in Jesus' preaching. Matthew records, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus says this because he is the one who has brought God's kingdom into their midst. Jesus in the flesh, God's kingdom was with them. But Jesus still dwells with you and I to this very day. So that means the time is now to repent. You and me, good and bad people, all people alike, it is time to repent. You're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. Scripture tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Repent means to acknowledge your sinful nature, to fear God's wrath and turn away from your unrighteousness. Acknowledge your sinfulness and confess your sins to God the Father. Plead for his mercy and strength to change your evil ways and to trust in him. For if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus is the true light who shines into the world. Jesus' preaching brings forgiveness, life, and salvation into this darkened world, rescuing you from the darkness and death that surrounds you and infects you. Jesus brings his heavenly kingdom to you right here in the divine service. He comes to you in the preaching of law and gospel and his holy word, calling you to repentance and faith alone in him. Thirdly, true light dawns upon you in Jesus' healing. Our text says they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them all. Now I know what you're thinking. Now, Pastor, Jesus hasn't cured my high blood pressure or my diabetes. He hasn't taken away my depression, and I've been praying for years about it. Well, here's the thing to remember about the healings in Jesus' earthly ministry. Everyone that Jesus healed in his public ministry only lived to die another day. At some point later in their lives, mortality caught up with them, and they died and was buried. As we hear so often in John's Gospels, Jesus' healings were signs to point toward something. His healings and miracles point to the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus' healings are merely a foretaste of what you have to look forward to in God's heavenly kingdom. The day when Christ raises your body from the dead and gives you a glorified body, perfect healing, bodies that will never die. As I said earlier, it was before the foundation of the world that our Lord God committed to healing you, healing your body and restoring it, restoring all of this broken creation. And that day is coming, the day when Christ returns, resurrecting your old body, giving you a glorified body, bringing a new heaven and a new earth, bringing eternal life with God and his kingdom, which has no end. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the true light shines upon you in Jesus, preaching, teaching, and healing. But he also comes to you here in his holy sacraments. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he instituted baptism and the Lord's Supper to show his commitment to you in healing your body and soul. Concerning baptism, Luther writes in his large catechism, "I am baptized And if I am baptized, it is promised to me that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in body and soul. For that is the reason why these two things are done in baptism. The body, which can grasp nothing but the water, is sprinkled, and in addition, the word is spoken for the soul to grasp. Now, since both the water and the word make one baptism, therefore, body and soul must be saved and live forever. And likewise, in regards to the Lord's Supper, Luther writes, it will cure you and give you life both in soul and body, for where the soul has recovered, the body is also relieved. Preaching, teaching, and the healing of Jesus' ministry has not stopped. Our Lord Jesus Christ is still in the business of giving out forgiveness of sins, giving life and salvation through the preaching and teaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. On this side of heaven, we still do live in darkness and in the shadow of death. Yet our Lord dwells among you by means of word and sacrament, and by the grace of God, you have seen a great light. Upon you, a great light has dawned. By faith in Jesus, you have forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.